coming to the house of God. Romans chapter number 1, and if you'll find your place in verse number 8, we're going to read through verse number 15 or 16 this morning, and then we're going to see what God has for us in this text. Romans chapter number 1, verse number 8. The Bible says, "First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor or indebted both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." And I was going to stop there, but verse 16 is too good. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." That's where we'll stop. Father, we thank you for this word this morning, and I pray that you would use it to penetrate our heart. God, I pray that you would use it to transform our heart. And Father, I just pray that as we walk out of this place, we'll say, I'm glad I went to the house of God because I got to meet with God. So Lord, I pray that you'd meet with us. I pray that you would manifest yourself to our mind and to our heart this morning. God, that you would speak directly to the one who desperately needs something this morning. And God, we thank you so much for your ministry here in this church. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God never told us when we come together, it always has to be in a nice building. God never told us when we come together, it always has to be in a suit and tie. And God never told us when we come together, it must be on a schedule from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock. But you know what God did tell us? You better always come together. That's exactly what He said. I want you to read this verse with me this morning. You've heard it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." And that's a word that I want to focus on this morning. Together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You see, what's important today is not the building that we're in. What's important today is not the clothes that we have on. What's important today is not even the color of the pews that we sit on. But what's important today is that we as the body of Christ have come together to worship Him. That's what is important today. And as He said, yeah, you can worship at home. You can worship in your prayer closet. You can worship in the car as you listen to the music. And oh, how sweet those times can be when you're all alone with God and He shows up to you. And it's just an awesome time of worship. But I am here to say there is something special about when a Christian comes together with other Christians and they in unison begin to worship the God of heaven together. There is something special about coming to church. And that's why I want to preach on that message today. Happy in the house of God. Because I don't know about you, there's something that makes me happy about the house of God. Men and women who love God will be in love with the house of God. David, you could say David, actually God says it. God says, "That is a man after my own heart." You know what that means? David is in love with me. Wouldn't that be awesome that God said that about us? Jimmy's in love with me. Justin, Rick, they're in love with me. They're after my own heart. Can I tell you, David, somebody who loved God more than anybody in the Scriptures, you know what he said multiple times, Psalm 27, verse 4? He said, "One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." He said, one desire above anything is that I may be in the house of God every single day of my life. Psalm 26, verse 8, he said, I love the habitation of God. Psalm 23, verse 6, we all know it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, David was so in love with God, therefore he was in love with the house of God. That was David. And friends, family, church, that's why it's so important today that we not only love to read this book, that we not only love to be on our knees in prayer to God, but you and I love to be in the house of God. The house of God is somewhere not that we should tolerate, something that we love to come to. And you see, when a new Christian, when they first get saved, somebody talks to them, there are two vitally important things to a brand new Christian. You know what those two things are? The Word of God and the house of God. You see, because when you become a new Christian, in those early stages of your new birth to Christianity, it is of vital, vital importance that they get in church around other Christians. A new Christian, it is so important for them to be in church. Did you know this? It's not only important for a new Christian to be in church. It's important for a middle-aged and an old-aged Christian to be in church. Amen. Because you see, the reason we come to church is not because it's a hobby. The reason we come to church is not because it sounds like a good idea when we wake up on Sunday. The reason we come to church is because we come in obedience to God. God said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. My open Bible, it says in the study notes, it says the ultimate reason that we should participate in a local church is because it is specifically commanded by God. So the reason we come to church is not just when it's a hobby. It's because God commanded us to go to church. And you see, the Apostle Paul here in Romans chapter number 1, he says this is something he longs to do with the people in Rome. Look at verse 11. He uses very interesting language here. He says in verse 11, for I long, what a word, I long to see you. I long to be together with you, to see each and every single one of you. He didn't say, man, oh, I got to go see these people again. He didn't say, I'm obligated to see these people. He said, it is a great desire for me to go and see the people of God. I long to see you. See, one of the great aims of the Apostle Paul, after he became a Christian, was he wanted to travel by boat to Rome, Italy, to share the gospel of Christ with them. You can read throughout the book of Acts, it was a great goal for him to go to Rome. So much so that Paul says in verse 9 and 10, he says, I pray about that all the time. He said, without ceasing, I pray that God would let me come see you. How many of you know God answers prayer? God answered that prayer for the Apostle Paul, but you know he answered it in a way Paul didn't expect. Paul said, I want to go to Rome. God says, I'll plan it for you. But you know what he had to go by? He had to go as a prisoner. Paul went to Rome, but he went as a prisoner. God said, well, I answered you. He didn't say how. So you need to be careful what you pray about, because God's ways are always higher than ours. But nevertheless, God answered this prayer request late in the Apostle Paul's life. But here in our text this morning, Paul tells them in verse number 11, he says, man, I have a great desire to be together with you. But he also tells them why. He tells them why I have a great desire to be together with you. And the summary of this is this. It's because there are great benefits when Christians come together. There are great spiritual benefits when Christians come together to worship. And that's basically what he says in Romans 1. He says, there are many benefits to me coming to see you and you seeing me. There's a lot of benefits. Now let me tell you something from my own heart this morning. Some of you could probably guess. What are my two favorite days in the week, Miss Nan? Amen. And right behind that's Thursday because it's my day off. Sunday and Wednesday are my two favorite days of the week. And I'm not lying about that, just for the sake of this message. It's my two favorite days of the week. You want to know why? Because I love church. But not only that, man, there are great benefits to me being here. And there are great benefits to you being here. There are great benefits for both of us being in the house of God. It benefits me and it benefits you. And I want to give you some of those benefits today right from our text. Why it benefits you and I to come together in church. The first thing I want you to see is that we get established in our faith. Look at verse 11. Paul says, I long to see you, and here's the reason. So that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. Paul says, one of the great reasons I want to come together with you is so that you might be established in your faith by what is taught to you. You see, the church in Rome was not founded by the Apostle Peter. People say that Peter was the first pope. That's hogwash. All right? The church in Rome was not founded by the Apostle Paul either. Paul had not been there yet. But more than likely, somebody came to Pentecost when Peter was preaching one of the greatest sermons that was ever heard. And somebody was from Rome there. And he heard this sermon, and the Bible says 3,000 got saved when they heard Peter's sermon. And more than likely, somebody from Rome was there listening, and that man or that woman got saved. Well, guess what? When they went back home by boat to Rome, they didn't go alone, but they took Jesus with them. You see, when they got back to Rome, they began to share Jesus with their wives, with their husbands, with their sons, their daughters, with their family, and people began to get saved in Rome, all across the world. But you know, in the first century, as you know, there is not such a thing as a bookstore with bookshelves piled up with Bibles all over it, was there? There wasn't a such thing called a Bible going around to every town and every church in the bookstore. So you know what? When these Christians, they got saved, they got born again, it was very hard for them to grow in their faith. Because without the Bible, by the way, it is very hard to grow in our faith. So what the Apostle Paul says is, he says, that is one reason I want to come to you. It's so that I might give you this word, and through this word, you can be rooted, grounded, and established in your faith. That's what he says. He says, one of the great reasons why I want to see you is so that you can be established in your faith. And that is a great benefit to coming together in church. Because we hear the word of God, and through the word of God, guess what it does? We get stronger in our faith. We build our spiritual muscles, if you will. And you see, when God created the church, He raised up men to be the leaders of those church, and He gifted those men with the ability to preach and teach His Word for the sole purpose of helping other Christians grow in their faith. That's why. That's why God established the church. That's why God raised up men to pastor the church, to help people grow through the Word of God in their faith. You know, some of you ain't taking my word for it, so let me tell you this. Ephesians chapter number 4. The Bible says God has gifted men to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. But we speak the truth in love, that you may grow up unto Him in all things. One of the reasons He's gifted men to preach and to teach the Word of God is so Christians might be built up through the Word of God. It says the same thing in Colossians 2, verse number 7. That you may be rooted and built up in Him as you have been taught. So it's what we're taught that helps us to grow. That's exactly what the church is about. It's about helping people become stronger and more established in their faith. And verse number 11 says that, so that you may be established. And man, I don't know about you, but I love that word, established. When I was studying this week, I looked up the definition of the word established, and I want you to hear what it means. Established means this. It means to make stable, to place firmly, or it means to be fixed and unmovable. That's the one I like. Established means to be fixed and unmovable. I like to think of it this way. When you go to Myrtle Beach and you want to build a sandcastle, Right? I don't know if anybody's done that before. You want to build a sandcastle on some sand, and man, you get the whole thing and you build it. It takes you 45, hour and a half, 2 hours to build that sandcastle, and you finally take it off, and man, that thing is beautiful, and you're so proud of your work. But here comes a big old 400-pound walking down the beach, and he don't even see that sandcastle that you spent 2 hours walking on, and that big old 15-size foot kicks your sandcastle. Guess what's going to happen? Bye-bye, sandcastle. What's it going to do? It's going to fall. And you see, when the waves come to that sandcastle, what's it going to do? Fall. And even if a teeny little bird on my sandcastle, it's going to fall. That's what happens. One little teeny thing gets on my sandcastle, and bye, not that good. You want to know why? Because it's not fixed, established. It's built on sand. Can I tell you, if you were to drive down this road right here, you'd find a lot of houses that are built brick on brick, on brick, on brick. You want to know what happens if a big old 400-pound man starts walking by and he comes by and kicks that house? What's the house going to do? Is it going to move? It's going to break his foot. What about if two birds land on the top of the house? Is that house going to fall? What about when the 50-mile-an-hour winds come and the rain just pours? What's going to happen? Nothing. The house is going to stay right where it's at. You want to know why? Because its foundation is strong. Can I tell you, that's exactly what Paul says coming together does to you and me. It establishes us and makes us stronger in our faith. That's what coming together does. And I tell you, that is so vitally important today. Because in the day in which we live, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but I have never seen more people, 16, 25, 40, and even 60-year-old people who grew up in church their whole life, yet now they're being swept away by the world. Have you ever seen more than that today? People who grew up in church literally their whole entire life, every single Sunday they went, but what happened? I mean, they served God in the church, they were so in love with God, but now when you look, it's like they're not even close to God anymore. You say, man, how does that happen? How does that happen? If you were to look at some of those lives, you'll find two common denominators in that life. You'll find that this book is sitting on their nightstand and it hadn't got picked up in a long time. And you'll also find that their church attendance started going down until it evened out and it's non-existent. You say, how do you know that? Look at me. I can tell you from my own experience. When I look back in my own life and say, what happened to me? Why did I walk away from God? It's because this Bible sat on my nightstand and never got picked up. And it is because when I look back at going to church, I did not go to church. Therefore, you know what's going to happen when you get out of the Word of God and out of the house of God? You're going to go down. But you know, that's what happens. We must get established, strong, and unmovable in our faith. I want you to think about this. When you don't do those two essential things, especially both of them, the Word of God and the house of God, I want you to think about what that means. When you forsake the Word of God and you forsake the house of God, listen, it's the exact same thing as a parent depriving their newborn child of food. The exact same thing. Listen to what this man said. He said, a responsible parent not only brings a child into this world, but also provides what is necessary for the child's growth. Right? If you're a good parent, you're not only going to bring your child into this world, but you're going to give him clothes on his back. You're going to give him food to eat. You're going to give him shelter. You're going to give him all of these things to help him grow. He says, so it is in church. It provides what is necessary for the Christian to grow. Because you see, the Word of God and the house of God are the two essential things to help the child of God to grow. The Word of God and the house of God are two things essential for the child of God to be established in our faith. That is an amazing benefit of coming to church and hearing the Word of God is to be established, grounded, rooted, founded in our faith. And to get stronger. Well, that's one of the great benefits. Secondly, I want you to see not only that, but I want you to see the second part. This is probably my favorite point of the message. We come together not only to get established in our faith, but we come together to enjoy our fellowship. Y'all smile now. This is a happy point. All right, Miss Sue McAllister, look at me. She can't hear me. Hey, Miss Sue. Are you writing? All right. I can't wait for Miss Sue. One Saturday that's coming real soon. Miss Sue used to call me on Saturday, the first Saturday of the month. Remember that? It'd be about 12 o'clock and she'd say, "Preacher, I want you to know that about 2 o'clock, I want you to come downstairs to the fellowship hall because we're having what's called a senior meal." Because she knows when she adds the words "meal" in, Justin won't sin. Right? Miss Sue said, "I want you to come downstairs. We're having the senior meal." But you know what? The past 6-7 months, we haven't been able to do it, have we? That's a sad thing, isn't it? But you know what that makes me want it even more? It makes me crave it even more. And I ain't just craving the senior meeting. I'm craving the banana pudding that comes with the senior meeting. Yeah. I'm craving a big old plate of banana pudding, and right beside it is the 3 pieces of fried chicken. Yeah, I said right beside it. It can touch the banana pudding. And then on the other side of the plate, mac and cheese. Some of y'all want to join the senior meal now, don't you? You know what's good about it, too? I get to sit around people that are 60 years older than me, and they love me. The senior meal. You know what's so good about it, though? That word, fellowship. Fellowship. Did you know God has never called one person to go at this life alone? Do you know that? Never has He looked at one person and said, "You're all by yourself, go do it yourself." No. We were created for fellowship. We were made for relationship. And man, that's one of the greatest things about coming to church is the fellowship. And man, I don't know about you, I enjoy the fellowship with each and every one of you. And you see, that's added into our text this morning. Verse number 11, He says, "Not only do I long to see you so that you may be established in your faith," but I love verse 12, "but also so that I might be comforted," or that word can be encouraged. Together, there's that word again, together. So Paul says, in verse number 11, he says, the reason we come together is so that you might be established in your faith. But he says in verse number 12, "but also so that I might be encouraged, so that I might be comforted." You know what he's saying here? He's saying, not only, church, do we come together for the congregation's sake. He said, we come together for me, the preacher's sake. You want to know why? He's basically saying here, you need me and I need you. In essence, we need each other. That's what he's saying. We need each other. Because God... And I really want you to consider that. God has never called one person to go at it alone. Never. Think about this with me, okay? This is amazing. Before the world was ever created, before there was a thing called a globe and planet Earth, before there was a star in the sky, before there ever was a sky, that's deep, there was nothing except what? God. There was no human. There was no angel. It was God. But you know what? He wasn't alone either, was he? But he was in perfect fellowship with who? His Son and the Holy Spirit. God has never even himself been alone. God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit were in perfect fellowship before the world was ever even created. And you know what? When God created the world, the Garden of Eden, remember that? God took the dust of the ground and breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, and his name was Adam. And man, God created everything in 6 days. I don't care what evolution says, the Bible says He created all in 6 days. And when He got done with it, He admired His work, didn't He? And He looked and said, this is my translation now, boy, that's very good. That's the exact word. It's very good. Everything He created was very good. Yet what is interesting, when He looked at Adam in the garden, He looked and for some reason God said these words, it is not good. It is not good. What was He talking about? He said, it's not good that man should be... Please think that phrase with me. It is not good that man should be alone. That's not my opinion. That's God's. It is not good to be alone. It's not. And you know what God did? He gave him a little anesthesia. Put Adam to sleep. Took out his rib. Formed a woman. His wife. Named Eve. You want to know why? Because we were created for relationship. We were created for relationship. Not only, most importantly, with Him, but also with other people. With one another. When you get away from eternity past, away from Genesis, you'll come to the New Testament. And you'll find that Jesus Christ created something called the church. The church. I love the church. And there's so many words, names that you can call the church, but my favorite is the body of Christ. The body of Christ. And there is a very specific reason why He used that term. A lot of reasons. But I want to ask you this. A body. What you see right now. I want to ask you this question. Have you ever seen a healthy, happy, living body whose parts of that body are scattered all across the world? In other words, if my arm's in this arm's in Gaston County and this arm's in Lincoln County, is that body going to be healthy? That body's not even going to be living. Right? Do you know what makes the body work? All of the pieces are working together for one another. My heart couldn't work really that good without my lungs or my kidneys. Oh man, my lungs and my kidneys sure couldn't work without my heart. The parts of our body, they are together. That's what makes your body happy, healthy, and living. The body of Christ is the exact same way. The body of Christ need not be separated all over, but the body of Christ is supposed to be together. Together. And that is why we gather together in worship, so that we might get together. Now, I have a third point, but I don't know if I'm going to give it. You know, there is something special about fellowship. There's something special about it. We were made for it. And that's one of the things I've learned the past few months, is that without relationship, we're not doing what we're supposed to do. Without a relationship with God, you're missing the whole reason God created you. You know that? God didn't create us to wake up, to go to school, to graduate, to go to work, to retire, and then die. Do you realize that's not the reason God created us? God created us to have a relationship with Him. And if we don't have a relationship with Him, we're missing the reason we were even here. Relationship is what it's all about. But you know what else? It's also about relationship with other people. With other people. When God called me to preach, I wanted so badly to be an evangelist, Jimmy. I mean bad. I said, I want to travel around and whoever church will open up the doors, I'll go preach. But you know, there's a night I went on a trip with my home church. And he let me drive the bus. And I remember looking in the rear view mirror in that bus, and God said, this is what you're going to miss if you're an evangelist. Because evangelist just travels around. Him and his wife. She'd get real tired of me quick. They don't really get to have a relationship with people. You know what the church is about? Having relationships with people. Whether you like it or not, you have a relationship with me right now. And I have a relationship with you. We're growing in our fellowship with one another. That's exactly what we're doing. It's what we're made for. Danny, I love you. Miss Nan, I love you. Rick, I love you too. But let me tell you something. During the months of March, April, and May, when it was just us, I sure do love you. But didn't that stink? It stunk. It was about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. About 8 people in here. And boy, I had fun preaching to a phone. 9, 10. I had real fun preaching to a phone. Right? I don't know why it wasn't that good. We were still in the building, weren't we? We still were playing the exact same songs we just played today. And I was still preaching the same Bible that I just preached. But you know what? There was no people. Because the church is about people. That's what it's about. You and I were made for relationships with other people. And man, I have relationships with so many people in here today that I would not have if I wasn't in the church. It's like being on a baseball team, Brother Carl. You grow relationships with people because you're around them all the time and you love it. It's the same thing. Man, a church, you come together and you get to know one another. Sometimes that's a hard thing to do, is to get to know one another. Some things you don't want to know, right? But you know what? The Bible says we're to love one another. Forgive one another. Help one another. Pray for one another. Serve one another. One another. One another. One another. It's all throughout the Bible. Because that's what it's about, man. It's about one another. And this morning, there's a lot of people listening on Facebook. And I'm so, so grateful for that. Some people don't feel comfortable coming back to church. That's fine. But I'm so, so thankful we're still able to do that, okay? But there's just something special about coming together. Seeing one another. Fellowshipping with one another. Now let me give you this and I'm done. In these last days that we're living in, Jesus is coming very soon. And wouldn't it be nice on a Sunday morning we'd go from church to church. But in these last days, there are three things. Whether they're listening on Facebook and you don't attend this church, you go to some other church, there are three things that your church needs from you. Your church needs you. You. It needs you. Let me tell you the three things it needs. It needs your presence. It needs your participation. And it needs your prayers. Presence. Participation and your prayers. Now, I want to challenge you this morning. Which one of those three did God just say, my church needs more of that from me? Is it your presence? Is it your participation to use the gift God gave you to help other people? Or is it your prayers to where you say, God, I'm going to take 5 minutes every single day to just stop and pray for my church? Is that what he said? Now I challenge you. I'd love to see you do all those three. But man, one of those three, I want you to be challenged. That my church needs more of my presence. It needs more of my participation to use my gift. And it needs more of my prayers. Which one can you do? Which one can you contribute? Because when Jesus comes back, I want to be found doing what He wants me to do. And that is in the Word of God and in the house of God. You can't separate those two. Church, today, I want you to know Me and my wife love each and every single one of you. And there ain't nothing like coming to church and fellowshipping with each other. But there sure ain't nothing like coming to church and fellowshipping with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He is the head of the church. The one whom we glorify in all that we do. I am so thankful for church. Musicians, you can come. Father, we thank You for Your love this morning. We thank You for Your establishing of the New Testament church. That You've put us together in a body, not to be divided, not to be separated, but to be together. Not only in presence, but also in principle, to love one another together. To forgive one another when we mess up. And we say something or do something we weren't supposed to do. We forgive each other because we are a family. And that's what a family does. So Father, we thank You so much for the family of God. That You are our Father and heaven is our home. And Father, I just pray for one person, two people, three that are in here this morning. And they're not in Your family, God. I pray that they would make it real today and ask You to be their Savior. Father, thank You for saving us. Thank You for putting us in Your body and giving us a home in heaven in which we'll dwell with You and each other forevermore. And Lord, we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.